Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century.
All right, we are back. It's 13 after the hour. And I think I mentioned earlier in the hour to be sure to buckle your seatbelts because Mr. Excitement, Mr. Creativity, Floyd Hurt, is with us this hour. Let me tell you a little bit about Floyd. In addition to being our friend and a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, Floyd has spent many, many years, dozens of years, a couple of two or three dozens of years, involved in every phase of sales, marketing, and advertising, from pounding the streets of New York as a sales representative to developing and marketing new products. He's worked with products as diverse as video programs and fruit pies, and corporations as diverse as Time, Inc. and the FBI. In 1981, he founded Probe Incorporated, which is a full-service advertising agency, and he is the author of an outstanding book that I want to give one of which I want to give away today. It's called Rousing Creativity. Floyd, welcome back to the show.
Jim, how in the world are you?
I'm great, sir, and it's always good to have you back with us. And folks, this guy is full of ideas, full of excitement, and he's going to share some of that with us today. But before he does, I want to give you some trivia questions because I want to give you a chance to win a copy of Floyd's book. Here are two or three of them. I want you to tell me what these two guys did. This is their birthday today. John Harvey Kellogg and Herbert Henry Dow. Now, those guys basically founded two different industries, essentially, with their products. And I want you to tell me what they did. Also, here are two actors who have birthdays today. And these guys each starred in their own sitcom, which became classics. Jackie Gleason, I want to know what sitcom he starred in over 40 years ago and that became a classic. And Tony Randall, I want to know what sitcom he starred in that became classic. And one more quick one, Fats Domino's birthday is today, and he had a wonderful song back in the 50s that we still hum as we walk down the streets today, and I want you to tell me what the name of that happy song was. 888-822-8255. Floyd, what's going on in your world?
In the world. All right.
The reason I say world when I talk to Floyd, folks, is because Floyd is a world traveler.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something, Jim. It's really interesting. I had to give a talk in Istanbul. I had to give a
as
talk.
As in Turkey, not Pennsylvania. Turkey.
I had to give a 4-hour talk in Istanbul, so I spent 2 weeks in Paris. Does that make sense?
When I think about Floyd Hurt, yes, that makes perfect sense. Well, now, no one else, but only you would do that.
All right, now, let me talk to you about, and it's interesting because I was in something called the Grand Bazaar in Istanbul, which is this just huge, I mean, really huge. I think there's like 3,000 shops in this place.
I live vicariously through you, Floyd.
Well, and you sincerely came to mind. Let me tell you what was going on. It was a rainy, cold day. And I was walking ahead, and these particular kind of shops are things like brass and artwork, and not the kind of shops you think about when you go to the local downtown mall.
Now, this is not the souk that you're going to. That's the market. That's what they call a market over there.
Oh, is that? Well, you see, polyglot you.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Anyway.
This is like an upscale kind of a mall type.
No. It's sort of, if I could explain this, think of an open-air market with a top on it.
Okay.
And, lots of people hawking rugs, hawking anything, brass, come in, see my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of all open, and I throw in lots of gold and things. But, you know, there are certain areas that are gold, certain areas that are silver, certain areas that are
rugs. Is it touristy?
I'm sorry?
Is it touristy?
Not this time of year, but normally it's just packed.
Okay, good.
Anyway, so I was walking out, and most of the people there are Turks at this time of year, very often during the summer. I've been there in the summer when it's full of Americans and Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
But this is when you came to mind, Jim. I was standing there taking photographs. What I love to do is just stand and watch and think,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this little guy came in. He was seriously about 3 feet tall, completely deformed, okay?
I don't think I like the way this story's going.
No, you will like this, and I'm going to bring it back to something you always say. In your opening remarks and your closing remarks, you often say you have to kill what you eat.
Yeah, eat what you kill.
Eat what you kill.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy, Jim, who has no real ability to make money. And let me come back to one thing. Last year I was in Istanbul. The lira, at that point in Istanbul, there were 220,000 lira to the dollar.
Mm.
okay? When I got there this year, this was less than a month ago, about 3 weeks ago, it was 322,000 lira to the dollar.
Wow.
Yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, it was 357 lira to the dollar.
They're losing ground.
So in a matter of 2 weeks, their currency has lost 10% of their value.
Unbelievable.
So now I see this guy here, and I watch him for a second. He walks up, and he has something under his arm. He stops, he puts it down on the ground, and it's a bathroom scale. He sits there in the middle of this market and people come by and pay him to weigh themselves.
Is that right?
Now,
what an entrepreneur.
What an entrepreneur.
And he's my hero.
Absolutely. When we think about what we do here, you know, we have an incredible economy here.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who literally waits for people to stand on the scale and he charges them. So
unbelievable.
This is the kind of hero when I thought
hope
about,
springs eternal, doesn't it?
Oh man, it's just amazing, Jim. And amid all this gold and everything else, here's this guy who's just—he's found a niche, maybe not a highly profitable niche,
right?
But a niche where he can actually make a living because he really has no other source of income. And that country is the currency. Of that country is just obviously in a shambles.
Yeah,
10%.
I did not realize it was that bad in Turkey.
Well, the currency is so bad. Now, very often it's tied to the dollar, so it's a big, you know,
right.
You're selling rugs, you're selling oil and rugs and things like that, you're selling them in dollars.
Right.
But I thought about you at that point, and then I walked out into the middle of the market, out of the market, which is rainy and yucky, dirty, and some guy followed me for about, 60 feet, wanting to shine my shoes. I looked down and I said, but I have on tennis shoes. He said, I don't care. I haven't shined shoes in 3 days.
Oh, no.
Okay. So we talked. I talked to him for about an hour. About his family and his life, and I gave him $1 million, which was $3.
$1 million lira.
To wash my tennis shoes.
Unbelievable. And he was glad to get the business, wasn't he?
He couldn't have been happier.
He didn't feel that you were being patronizing or anything, did he?
Absolutely not. I mean, we struck a deal, and he was telling me what was going on and how tough it is nowadays over there. So I always think about this when I think about our economy and how, you know, we will go out and spend $50 to eat something. These guys
yeah.
don't have any money.
Yeah.
They have no money. And so, I was already thinking about you when you talk about
well,
you have to eat what you kill.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you thinking about us. And obviously, if you're thinking about me, you're thinking about our audience. And,
yes,
and,
definitely.
And what's going on out there. And I appreciate you bringing that fatherly story back to us because, you know, it sounds like, you know, you walked to school uphill both ways, but kind of a story. But I agree with you. Sometimes we do take it for granted. And as I've said before, and as many of us have said who've ever traveled to third world countries, you really and truly don't appreciate what we have here in America until you leave the country.
No, you really don't.
Yeah. Stand by, Flo. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I told you it would be fun when Floyd came. 888-822-8255. We've got a lot more things to talk about, including something he calls attack marketing. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I've got a copy of Rousing Creativity that's burning a hole in my pocket. I want to give it away. All you got to do is call and answer one of my trivia questions. I gave them out earlier. If you didn't get them, I'll give them out again later on, but I'm not going to right now. 888-822-8255. Mr. Creativity, Floyd Hurt, the member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, is with us right now.
Let me, Jim, give you something else.
I was about to say something really nice about you, and you interrupted me.
Don't say anything nice to me. It'll turn my head. You know how I get when my head gets turned.
Go ahead.
Let me give you something else that you can give away. And I want somebody to call you because this is really great. I don't know if I've mentioned to you the benefit finder we've been working on.
A little bit.
Okay. One of the problems, and I'll just be brief on this, one of the problems I always have when I do presentations on creative strategy is the inability people have, and it's not a condemnation, everybody has it, the inability they have, we all have, to distinguish between features and benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If I'm doing a group where people are writing their creative strategy, and I say, okay, list all your features, then go back and list all the benefits, people will almost always come back under the benefit arena and list more features.
Right. Because that's what they're excited about.
Well, that's what they know. I mean, they don't always know what the target market wants.
Right.
So I was flying back from someplace and on the airplane, I thought, well, how do I resolve this issue? So I came up with two phrases. Under features, I say there's a little phrase that says, because we have. These are the features.
Mm-hmm.
Under the benefits, my little phrase is, you can or will.
Right.
Okay? So that makes people think clearly about those two things. And then I said, all right, well, how do I make this come alive? So we have just finished. As we're speaking right now, they're being polished. We have paperweights that have two little arrows and this little copy on it that you lay on top of a piece of paper, and you list your features and list your benefits, and it makes you think about it. In fact, we've done several examples. So these things are, they come in a little black bag and stuff like that, but I will send you one.
All right.
You can give away as a gift, along with an instruction manual and all the stuff that goes along with it. Because it is, and I will be very, very modest about this, it is the finest marketing tool ever developed on the history of the planet in the galaxy. And I invented it, of course.
Of course.
But you will, did I
mention that Mr. Creativity is also Mr. Modesty?
Mr. Humble.
That's right.
But Jim, it's interesting because I find that with small businesses particularly, they do get so enamored by the fact that they, you know, we're open 24 hours a day or whatever it might be,
right,
that they tend to forget that, why is that important to the client?
Right.
And when you do this analysis, it forces you to think about specifically why the client cares. And ultimately, that is all you're selling. Okay? So if I can list 20 features of my business, I might come up with 100 reasons that it's important to a client.
Mm-hmm.
Then from that 100, I could pick out the 3 that I could use as marketing tools. For example, one of our examples we're using is a restaurant. I made this up. So I listed all the features about the kind of menu we have, the kind of service we have, and I came up with the idea that we're in an old Victorian building. Well, the name of the restaurant came to me is the Naughty Victorian.
The Naughty Victorian.
And that's just a made-up name.
Yeah.
But it comes out of this features and benefits analysis that you do. So I will send you one of these that if
all
someone
right.
is interested, we will let them have it. They will love it. They will call you and say, Jim Blassingame, you're the greatest man in the world.
You know, I really think that this is very important that you talk about these, that we talk about these things, Floyd, because so many times we get hung up on the things that we've developed, the things that we have got to sell, the things that we're, that the lines that we have, the new color that we have, or the new capability that we have. As you say, we're open 24 hours. Now we're no longer open only 12 hours, we're open 24 hours. Well, that is a feature. Those aren't benefits. We've got to be able to convert what we have to sell, the features that are part of what we have to sell, into what we have to sell will do for our customers.
Well, and that's exactly, and you know where it is most, seems to me to be most predominant, is in technology fields. If you're a computer store, people say, well, you know, this new hard drive has 16 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I look at it and think, that's really nice. Number one, I don't know what it means.
Right.
Number two, I think, why? What difference does it make to me? So if a sales guy, and this tool is specifically, not specifically designed, but wonderful for salespeople, because salespeople always fall back into features because
right.
they know them. They have been, the features have been hammered into
That's
their
what they've
heads.
Been trained, yeah.
Yeah, and it very often in the business, they don't sit back and say, okay, how does this apply to a client? And believe me, Jim, I know this firsthand. So when you do this, what you wind up with is what we call a benefit briefing, where basically this whole list of things, and the list is called a benefit briefing. So you do a benefit analysis, the result is a benefit briefing, like a mind map and mind mapping.
Right.
So it's the kind of tool that people, everyone needs.
Just stand by, folks.
You got it.
29 after the hour. I'm going to be right back with Mr. Excitement, Mr. Creativity, Mr. Humble, Floyd Hurt, 888-822-8255. And I'll give the trivia questions out one more time if you want to get a chance to win a copy of Floyd's book and his little rock that talks about that being the, what is it, benefit finder. That's the one. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having more fun than the law allows with our good friend, Mr. Creativity, Mr. Excitement, Mr. Humble, Floyd Hurt, the author of Rousing Creativity, and we're going to get you to, going to give you a chance to talk about the book here in just a second. But before we do, I want to give you, in addition to the book that I want to give you from Rousing Creativity, called Rousing Creativity, which is an outstanding workbook, folks, that's about to change a little bit. We also want to send you this little brass thing that I'm going to get Floyd to tell you about again in just a minute. But it's really, I hear what he's saying. It's called the Benefit Finder, and I think it's really going to help you to understand the difference, and your salespeople understand the difference between features and benefits. And here are the trivia questions so you get a chance to win. Kellogg, John Harvey Kellogg basically started an industry with his product. Also, Herbert Henry Dow basically started an industry. And by the way, I don't know if you know that both of those guys are from Michigan. Just another little piece of trivia there. I want to know what company, what industries those guys essentially founded. All right, these two guys also have a birthday today, and they're actors, and they were part of a great, each one, two different sitcoms. Jackie Gleason, what great sitcom that became a classic was he part of? Also, Tony Randall, what great TV sitcom classic was he part of, and the song that Fats Domino sang back in the 50s. I want to know the name of that song. Richie Cunningham used to hum it on Happy Days. I'll give you a little bit of a hint. 888-822-8255. Give us a call, and we'll send you all this stuff we've been talking about from Floyd. Floyd, tell us again. I want to know about the little thing. It's a brass.
Okay. It's
like a paperweight.
Well, I said it's an object d'art. It's one of the
object d'art. Okay.
But it is kind of a paperweight, and the notion behind it, again, is to allow you a mnemonic, a visual device that forces you, doesn't just encourage you, it forces you to think about the difference between features and benefits. And as we were saying before the break, one of the big areas that I find, and well, two areas, but one of them is in salesmanship, that sales guys will often, again, focus on the features. So what we're encouraging people to do is when they put together this sort of the benefit briefing, they sit down before a sales meeting and they can list all the features that they're offering a potential client. Okay, and if you're a printer, you can list the fact that you have offset, you have web, you have anything you want to list down there. Then when you sit in front of the client, you can have this sort of dialogue with the client saying, tell me, Mr. Blasingame, can you see how this particular feature that we offer you could benefit you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, you're opening a dialogue, and as soon as he says, gee, this could help me do such and such, then you enter a dialogue about what it's going to do for him.
Right.
You're no longer saying, we have web and offset printing. That's not important unless it's important to him.
Well, and that's the thing that I drive home as often as I can with my clients, when I'm doing my sales training, when I talk to people on the radio show, is make sure you find out what's motivating your customer, not what's motivating you. You already know what motivates you.
Mm-hmm.
The customer has to be motivated to do business with you before they will write you a check. So what do we need to find out? We need to find out what motivates them. What are
Absolutely.
They interested in? And you gave an example a minute ago about the hard drive, 16-gigabyte hard drive. You know, we have a 16-gigabyte hard drive, but maybe what the customer really wanted was not so much that extra storage, although maybe he needs that, but maybe he just needed more nanoseconds, a faster nanosecond timing, speed on the hard drive, and you didn't even tell him that. You know,
absolutely.
So you don't presume that they want capacity. Maybe they want speed, and the only way you can find out what they need is to ask them.
And the nice thing about features and benefits is features, if you talk about a feature, in the client's mind, immediately his question is, so what? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you've gotten him to the point where you discuss the benefit to him, his mind then turns to prove it. Okay, so you see mm-hmm. this circle that we're talking about?
Yep.
That's why this notion of features and benefits works so well. I can actually come at it from a benefit point on something that I know might be of interest to him, and I could say, is that particular benefit important to you? And he says, yeah, and I say, that's good, and now let me prove it. We have this feature that allows you to do it.
Right.
So, and the other thing about it is that even with existing clients, if you're offering 20 features and he's only using 5, you can sit with that client with the same benefit briefing document, go through the 4 or 5 that he's already using and show how it's already benefiting him, then come down to the 2 that you know he needs but he's not using and say, you know, you may not be aware, Mr. Blasingame, but we do have this feature also, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been thinking about your business, this can is how it can help you. Or even better, can you see how it might help you? If you say it, you believe it. If he says it, he believes it. If you get him to say, gee, I didn't know you guys did that, I can see how it might work, then you come back and say, you're into a pre-closed situation, then you move into a closed situation, then you got him.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, without focusing on, without being aware and prepared to focus on what you call the benefit finder, then that whole conversation never happens, because you drone on and on about all your features, and before you know it, the customer, the prospect says, well, I think we're pretty much done here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the last thing that is fun about it, because this is not a particularly expensive endeavor. The average sales call costs between $250 and $300.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of this meeting, when you've gone through all of your features and benefits, and he's very aware of how it can benefit him, you leave the benefit briefing document on the desk along with the benefit finder, nice little bracelet,
mm-hmm.
and you very carefully slide it across the desk and say, here, keep both of these.
Right.
I want you to have this in front of you all the time.
Right.
Now, that makes an impression.
Absolutely.
And it makes people go, wow, you know, now let me review this. And you say to them, you can use it with your own business, you can use it with your own services, or whatever you've got. Think about it.
You've got a new tool that you've designed to help people make decisions, and I want to talk about that when we come back. And we're also going to talk about attack marketing, I promise. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. We've been having fun with our good friend Floyd Hurt. He's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's the author of Rousing Creativity, Think New Now by Floyd Hurt. And that book, that I, the one I have in my hand and that I'm going to give away, is in its most recent version, which is in a three-ring binder. Folks, this is a very unusual book, but it's very, very appropriately put together, I think, in a three-ring binder, so you can actually use it. You can work with it. You can interact with it. You can take things out and put things in. However, it's coming out in a bound version, isn't it, Floyd?
Yep.
And that's coming out pretty soon. But either way, where is the place that we can go to get this book?
If you want to come directly to me, you can either go to the website, which is www.rousingcreativity.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you want to call me, we have, Jim, now for your listening pleasure, a new 800 number.
All right, give it.
1-800-THINK-NEW-NU.
Okay.
So it's really easy, just think new.
All right. Now, when the book comes out in the bound form, hardbound form, is it going to be available in bookstores?
We hope so.
Yeah.
We'd like for it to be available everywhere, book
right.
of the month, line everywhere, but you know, we don't know. You never know about distribution. We will push for it, obviously.
Right, right.
In fact, I'll carry them and put them in there myself.
All right, sounds good. And Floyd, James, we still have a caller? Who we got?
Jim, we have Paris calling from Maryland online.
What's his name? Paris?
Hello.
Hi, Paris.
How are you doing?
All right, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling
Thanks
in.
Thanks a lot.
Say hi to Floyd Hurt.
Hi, Floyd.
Good morning, Paris. How are you?
Okay, thank
Good.
You.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Paris. Go ahead.
That's fine. I called today because I listen to Jim when I get a chance. He's a genius, and I just started. I had to take the opportunity to speak to two geniuses at the same time.
Paris, thank you so much. My mother would be so proud.
Well, you take the ordinary run of the mill things that people see every day, and you make them. You turn them around so people can understand how they affect their lives, and I think that's great. I've listened to you and gotten so many good ideas that I'm trying to follow up on.
What a nice thing to say. Paris, you made my day. I appreciate that.
And this benefit finder is just Floyd's, that's a genius, a piece of stroke of genius, I think, that we tend to work for ourselves, getting our own work out and not think about what the customer wants. That's going to turn me around a lot just to think about that.
How are you going to use that, Paris?
Well, I'm trying to get some photo products out into the to market, and I've really been thinking about my product, how nice it is, and what all of its benefits.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Not thinking about how the customer is going to take advantage of it and use it. How the customer is going to benefit. I know how I'm going to benefit if it sells, but
right.
Yeah, so
well, you know your motivations, but you don't have all the money you need. The customers have your money, don't they?
That's right. That's right.
And if you don't convert those things that you're so proud of into benefits, as Floyd has been saying, then you're not going to get their money.
Well, it's more than that. They don't understand what they're going to get out of my product. And,
right.
Now, see, Paris, that's exactly what
that's
we want to have people say. What do I understand? What is in it for me?
That's right.
Man, you put your finger right on it. You know that these products are great.
That's right.
Does he know why it's great?
He doesn't understand it. He
Absolutely.
Says, yeah, well, it's a nice product. Good.
What can I do with it? Yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many benefits, so many good things that can be done with it, with my photo product that I need to get out there, and that's marketing, I guess. And that's another side of life that most of us don't. I mean, a lot of me haven't thought about it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what kind of benefits do you think your product would offer a customer? How would you convert a feature into a benefit?
Well, the photo product has the benefit of being useful to the customer by giving them a sense of satisfaction, number one.
Right.
And it gives them an opportunity to show their appreciation to others.
Good. Is it a gift item, Paris?
It's a gift item.
Good.
It's a gift item. A gift item also can be used as a business item, like a business photo business card.
Mm-hmm.
Gives them an opportunity to present themselves in a new light to their customers.
Okay.
There's a whole multitude of.
I mean, you know, then what did you
like? Inspire people on their teams, their kids to achieve in school or in sports or. Oh, this is fabulous! It's a great product, I think that.
So the feature is, it's in full color. It's got this wonderful frame or whatever. But the benefit is, ma'am, can you imagine the smiles on the children's face when they see their pictures?
That's right. And how you feel. That's right. When the results come, what this does to those children comes back to you and reflects back on you.
And a smile, if your product sells for $9.99, that's not the issue. A smile is worth $1 million.
It certainly is. Could be.
Yeah.
And I hope it's going to be worth
it.
Well,
you know what? I've got pictures of my children that I wouldn't take $1 million for because they're smiling and they're having a good time. I wouldn't take anything for those pictures.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Paris, well said. Floyd, you got anything you'd like to say to Paris?
I think he just put his finger on it.
Boy, he got it all squared away.
Well, I'll tell you, if I put my finger on it, it just came to me listening to the two geniuses. And that's the point of genius, to take a notion, to take an idea, and to just turn it around and say, this is what you can do with that. I mean, you guys, Floyd, you're fabulous. And Jim always does it every day, and it's just wonderful.
Paris, you're so nice. Thank you. Be sure to stay tuned so that James can get your address. We're going to sit. Okay?
Okay, I appreciate that.
Hey, Paris, don't forget, you're my hero.
I appreciate you. Jim, you're my hero.
Okay, Paris, have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right. Got to wrap it up, folks, for this segment. We'll be back in just a minute, though. Stay with us. We're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Mr. Excitement, Mr. Creativity, Floyd Hurd, our good buddy, the author of Rousing Creativity, which you can get from his website, which is...
www.rousingcreativity.com.
Rousingcreativity.com. Or the 800 number is quickly.
1-800-THINK-NEW, N-U.
Think new. All right. And James tells me we have another caller. Who we got, James?
We've got Joe calling from Maryland.
Joe in Maryland. How you doing, Joe?
Doing well, thank you. How about yourself?
Great. Thanks for calling in. Say hi to Floyd Hurd.
Morning, Floyd. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Now, Joe, can you top Paris?
Can I top Paris?
Yeah.
I don't know. If I could answer my own questions, I'd be doing great. but I guess a good salesperson never asks the question they don't know the answer to.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Anyways, along these lines, I have developed 182 acres down in just north of Lexington, Kentucky, off I-75.
Yeah.
And now, because of a job transfer, my wife and I are living over in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
I had 15 lots. Out of the thing put together, I've sold five, and I'm now in a position where, you know, when I go over to sell something, you talk about $250 to $300 a sales call. I'm easily hitting
when
I got to go over. So
you got to have your stuff together, then, don't you?
Oh yeah, definitely. So that's the reason why I'm calling in. I've read a bunch of the sales books, closing every deal, all that kind of stuff. But how do you get past that emotional thing? Where, if you know, I believe in the product. I believe in what I'm doing. I know my price is right. I'm below market on my pricing. It's absolutely gorgeous land, views, woods, ponds.
I'm not town, Joe. Get your point. I'm sorry.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is that when I've got the person out there. I know they've got the problem where they want to buy a piece of land. I know I've got the problem where I want to sell a piece of land. How do I get past that, you know, in my mind of going for the hard close because I know it's what they want?
How do you feel about your pre-closes? Have you pre-closed them?
Yes. I start with the small yeses where I go, isn't this beautiful? Boy, wouldn't the kids really enjoy being out here?
Let me help you on one thing. Instead of saying, wouldn't the kids, your question should be, how would the kids enjoy it?
Okay.
Okay, so then they get emotionally involved.
Yeah.
How would you see yourself sitting here? You want to ask how questions. Don't give them the answer. Can't
right.
you see as an answer?
Right.
Okay.
How can you see the kids playing here?
Don't ask a question that they can answer yes or no. It's got to be a non-directive or indirect.
Well, maybe that's what I'm doing wrong, because most of the times I try and go for questions that they've got to answer yes to.
See, well, you want a few of those, but much better to have them explain. What you're looking for there is that emotional thing. God, I can see the swings right over here where the kids could play. Do the kids like to play on swings? Yeah, they do. Tell me about that. Then you got them emotionally. Okay.
Yeah.
And once you start doing that, then you go for a little more hard close.
Okay.
Like, where would you find the house more appropriate, here or here?
Mm-hmm.
Once they say here, you think, yeah, boy, can't you see that? And then you start closing them.
The other thing, Joe, is when you ask those directive questions, you get yes or no's, you don't get any information. I think that may be a big part of your problem. If you get when you ask non-directive or indirect questions, they give you information that you can use, and that's what you can sell from in the future. Joe, I hate to do this, but you called in at the end of the hour, and thank you for doing that, but we got to take a break.
All right, you gave me an answer. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Joe, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Hang in there. Floyd, we got to wrap it up. I hate to do that to Joe, but it's just one of those things. You know how it is. We got to go for this hour. As always, you were great today.
All right, I'll talk to you.
We're going to have you back, and next time we're going to talk about the new tools for helping people make decisions and attack marketing next time.
Behave.
Have a good one.
Bye.
All right, folks, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, Paris and Joe, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.